Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Mark with a Q. I am your host. I'm very privileged to have a very talented actor who's currently in the award-winning film Selma. It's up for a couple Oscars. It won a couple Golden Globes this past week. He's been you know, a very capable and active actor over the past decade. Not to mention that he's also he's also a very active golfer as well. Clay Chappelle's on with us right now. How you doing, Clay?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. Thank you for coming on. I mean, it's obviously a little bit exciting to have this movie on, you know, coming up with a couple of awards and all that as well. I mean, how was it for you to take part of this this historic film?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, it's been a blessing to me. You know, it's been fantastic, you know, and the whole filming of it. And I really didn't know the scope of how big it was going to be till they told me, you know, Oprah Winfrey was involved. And then you kind of know it's going to be something big. And then just the story and the, you know, the history, and it's been a blast. What a ride.
It's been quite of a marketing campaign over the past couple of weeks for Selma, you know, as well. So obviously, I think a lot of people are probably going to start recognizing you on the street because you're one of the pivotal scenes of the movie itself. You know, what's it been like the past couple of weeks in terms of the reaction to people that you've seen in terms of seeing Selma and seeing you on the street?
Well, I tell you, it's funny you said that. I have a grandmother of a kid that I teach golf to. Brought him to golf today, and she didn't know I was an actor. Just thought I taught her grandson golf, and she said, "I saw you in a movie this weekend," and she's like, "Oh, you were great, but man, you were mean." She's like, "I wish." She's like, "I was telling my friend that went with me that she should see you working with those kids and see how nice and gentle you really are in real life."
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, I guess that's the point of a good actor, to do something.
Exactly.
That's
I was like, I guess I did my job then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, tell us a little bit about how you got into acting.
Well, first of all, my brothers did one act plays, and they're you know, a little older than me, so you always kind of want to do what big brothers do. But I've just always loved movies and you know, seeing things on the big screen. I just love it. And I did a church play when I was about 9 or 10, and I was hooked from then on.
Now, yeah, you did a lot of stage work. How was that transition over to film and you know, getting that first call to be part of a major motion picture?
Well, I tell you, I didn't do as much theater and stuff as a lot of people do. I did, you know, what I could in high school, one act plays, and then a few plays in college. But from high school and when I was in college, I was really trying to I guess be an actor. I just didn't really know how to go about doing it, but I was always trying to pursue it in some way. But yeah, there definitely is a transition from the stage to the small screen or the big screen.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was just at Sundance. I was mentioning this to you before we got on air, but I was just at Sundance. Georgia. I believe there was a booth. Georgia had a booth up there. You know, representing the Georgia Film Office. There seems to be a lot of activity going on in Georgia. They promote a lot of filming out there as well. I mean, how is it for you to be an actor, not in Hollywood, but over in Georgia, and the ability to find work out there and be offered work?
Yeah, I'll tell you my story. I was living in Los Angeles, chasing the dream, and lived out there for 5 years, and I had my daughter when I lived out there, and it was kind of time for me to grow up and get a real job. I was actually teaching golf while I was out there at the Tregnan Golf Academy in Griffith Park, and I moved back to Georgia and started the golf program here, bought a driving range, and it's funny, the work started coming back here, and now it's like, this is like Hollywood East. I mean, there's so much going on here, and it's been a huge blessing to me and my family, and just, you know, tons of opportunities. And So, it's been really, really good back this way.
Yeah, it's always nice to have an actor that has an authentic Southern accent on stage, and versus somebody has to learn it. So
exactly. I hope that's the case. I hope I'm the go-to Southern actor.
What was it like for you the first time that Oprah came on set and you guys were ready for that, getting ready for that scene? Was that the first time you met Oprah, or did you meet Oprah before then?
Well, I actually I was on the golf course a few days before we were to shoot our scene, and I think it was the second AD said, Oprah would like for you to come over tomorrow for lunch. She wanted to meet you before your scene. So I told my wife, hey, I'm going over tomorrow and going to meet Oprah. And so anyway, I went over, and they were already filming, but she wasn't filming. So she kind of held court at a little lunch, on the set, and I sat around with all the other actors and David Oyelowo and Common and everybody who was there that day, and it was fantastic. She told stories and just had a great time. So it really kind of broke the ice for when I had to go over and shoot our scene a couple of days later, which that day we never said a word to each other until after the scene.
Wow. So basically you came on the set and then you guys did your scene, and which you mentioned was a very, like I said, it was a pivotal scene in the movie, to say the least. So it must have been pretty cool to be able to work with so many fine actors on this film. There's just so much of a great cast on there as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and did you get to learn a lot from some of these actors on set?
Well, I only worked the one day on set, so my one day on set was just with Oprah. She's the only one that's in my scene, and I will say Martin Sheen dropped by and watched this film a little bit, so that was kind of cool. As you mentioned, it really is an ensemble cast, this movie. And there's just so many good performances, and other than David Oyelowo as Martin Luther King, no one really has a ginormous part. Everybody plays a part of in the movie and a supporting part, I would say, and some very fine performances, which if you read all the reviews, everyone seems to think so.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's really great to be able to have that opportunity as well. What was it like also to work with the director, or Ava, the director? I mean, she obviously...
Oh, Miss Ava,
I'll
tell you. Yeah, she is just fantastic. I owe so much gratitude to her, and I'm so grateful for her that she cast me in this part. In my opinion, she's an actor's director. She's very supportive, and get in your face and talk to you about the part and the character and what we're going for here, and she's just fantastic, just a true joy to be around as well.
Yeah,
and deserves all the credit she's getting.
Yeah, she does. I think a lot. I'm with everybody else that kind of disappointed she did not get nominated for Best Director, but.
I saw her a couple of weeks ago. They did a reenactment of the march in Selma, actually, and she didn't seem bummed about it. She's very, very ecstatic that the picture was nominated, and I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think she's getting a lot of credits from elsewhere as well. I mean, she's getting a lot
exactly.
of awards other places too. So.
It's all so subjective, I mean,
yeah.
It's like my daughter's gymnastics meets, it's a fine film, and it's going to be around for a long time. And, it's something, everybody that was a part of it should be proud of.
Yeah. And I want to mention, I mean, you've not only been in this Selma, but you've been in several other films as well. One that I'm looking at right now is Savannah, and you have another ensemble cast there. You had Jim Caviezel, Jimmy Alexander's in it, Sam Shepard, Hal Holbrook. Really kind of a really cool ensemble cast there. What was it like to be on set for that film?
Well, I tell you what, it was It was great working with my scenes. I play a prosecutor, and Jim Caviezel is on trial, and Hal Holbrook is the judge. And just to be, you know, around him, Jim Caviezel, and watch how he operates and gets into character, and watch how he works, and it was quite a treat for me. He was fantastic, and then of course Hal Holbrook, man. And once they turn the cameras on, he rock and rolls.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just being able to have the ability to work with some of the, like I said, some of these great actors, it's just...
Yeah, and don't and let's not forget Chiwetel Ejiofor. He was in my scenes as well with Jim Caviezel. He's fantastic. That was, I guess, before he was on everyone's radar. But he's great in that movie, Savannah.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about golf. I mean, you know, were you always an avid, first of all, were you always an avid golfer?
Yes. I grew up, my father, you know, played and made sure his boys play. I got three brothers. And I always say, you know, the best times of my life were playing golf with my dad. And now, you know, I have a daughter that's 11 and a son that's 9, and they both play. And just, you know, we went out Sunday and played, and it's just, I just love it, and I love being able to pass along that passion for the game to other people, and you know, it's just such a great game. You know, where else can you spend, you know, 3 hours and have, you know, 3-4 hours and have your kids' undivided attention, you know, other than on the golf course? So
yeah, you know, I was watching a piece on golf on I believe it was Brian Gubbels' Real Sports on HBO, and he was talking about how the game of golf has kind of it's kind of in a downslide a little bit because of the younger generation isn't getting the access to it as much. You know, there's other sports out there, obviously other studying as well. You know, tell me a little bit about you. You know, you obviously, you teach a lot of younger people. How important is it for you to keep the game of golf going with these younger kids taking up the sport?
Yeah, I saw that same piece, you know, that you're referring to, and they did. You know, they're trying to, they had, you know, going to make the hole bigger and do some other things, but I can assure you where I live that golf is thriving, and there's more and more people taking it up, and but the knock on golf is, you know, first of all, it's hard. It's difficult to play. And second of all, it takes a long time when you get out and play. And then third of all, it can be expensive. So it's got some things going against it. However, I think a lot of that's, you know, maybe a little misleading. I think golf's doing fine. We got to figure out a way to just make it accessible. And that's what I think I try to do. I look for ways, how can I serve these golfers? You know, I started out teaching, just giving lessons, and you know, they'd come to my driving range, and we do, you know, we hit balls and chip and putt, and then I'm like, you know, these kids are growing out of just hitting balls. We've got to get them on the course. We've got to figure out a way for them to get on the golf course, because it's a game that's meant to be played. And so my partner and I, Brad White, we came up with an idea. During a snowstorm, we went to Walmart to get some milk, and I was telling him about my ideas, and we came up with the idea for having a golf league. And so we have the Oconee Junior Golf League, where we have kids that we have a 1st through 5th grade league and a 6th through 8th grade league. And we'll put them on teams of 5 kids and give them a team name, like Team Ricky Fowler, Team Bubba Watson, Team Tiger Woods. And so they'll play a match each week against another team, just like Little League Baseball or, you know football, whatever, other rec sport. And they play a scramble format. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's where each person hits a ball, and then they choose the best ball from there. Everyone else picks theirs up, and then they all hit from wherever that best spot is, and you choose the best ball from there. Everyone else picks theirs up. So you're only, you know, having one score, you know, for your team. So if you hit a bad shot, you got your teammates that can pick you up and contribute. You know, everybody tends to contribute, you know, at some point during the match. And they play five holes, and it takes an hour and 45 minutes, just like playing Little League Baseball. We have volunteer coaches that are dads, and it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, from my home state of Montana, we actually do have high school golf teams. So,
oh yeah, we do here as well. I'm talking with these little kids, though, you know.
Yeah.
With our leagues, first through fifth and sixth through eighth, we actually have middle school golf teams here as well.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. You know, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, I think that's a kind of another way too, is just to try to get some you know, people the ability to be able to play, even if it's for a team sport. I think it's going to be even more supportive as well. You know, any excuse to get them out on the links, as it were. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, I think, yeah, there are some things going against it, but there are so many other things that are going with it. You know, I think it's, as much as it's a hard sport, all hard sports are supposed to be hard. You know, you can't exactly master it right away. You know,
it's a great sport for girls. You know, there's just not enough girls that play. There's, you know, hundreds of scholarships that go unclaimed every year because there's not enough girls that play golf.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested. I mean, that might be something some girls should be interested in, you know, be able to do that, to be able to pick up the paying game of golf. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to get you moving, and it's going to get you out in the course a little bit more too. So there's so many more benefits. It kind of is kind of sad that there isn't as many girls taking up the sport nowadays either. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it'll be interesting to see where the next couple of years lead. I don't think it needs any gimmicks.
I don't either.
Basically, yeah. you know, I just think that that, you know, just play the game, and you know, hopefully some of these community courses will become a little bit more affordable down the line as well. I mean, you don't have to go to a fancy country club to be able to play golf. There are a lot of municipal courses that'll do the same thing with you as well. So I'm really interested to see how the sport kind of goes and.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, and speed it up a little bit, and it's good to go.
I will say that there is one thing though. There is kind of a speed golf thing where you only have only a certain amount of clubs that you have.
Oh, I know. It's called speed golf. You take your score and the time it took you to play and add them together, and that's your score. Yeah, they do it out in Oregon, I think, a lot. I'm on the guy's email list. Yeah. I thought about trying it myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I haven't golfed in a long time. I took lessons when I was younger. I may have went out once or twice. But you know, just to have, you know, maybe just a couple of clubs with you, you know, because you don't have to do a whole fancy set. But, you know, just to try that out, even if not just for speed, but just to have there's only a certain amount of clubs in your pocket might be interesting to see how that goes, and it might be a little bit cheaper. But
yeah, I used to love living in Los Angeles. You have the little short courses out there.
Yeah.
Little par three courses, you know,
mm-hmm.
over at Los Feliz, and now out at Roosevelt, you had a little over by the observatory. You have a little executive course, or a lot of short holes there.
Yeah, there's quite a few out here in Vegas as well. You know, I don't know if you had the opportunity to play any or courses out here, have you?
I played Angel Park out there. I just can't think of some of the names of them. You know, the landscape's changed out there. I played the old Desert Inn way back. The one used to be across the street from Bally's. I'm unfamiliar with the names of them. But yeah, I played quite a bit of golf in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if the Wind still. I think the Wind still has a course out there too. So, yeah, I think it's. I don't think Trump has one out here yet. But I think there was talks that he was going to get one out here. But what's probably the most fun course? One most fun course that you've golfed on?
Oh well, going back to I love the Wilmington Island Club golf course in Savannah, Georgia. That's where I played so much golf with my dad. But I'm a member of the Georgia Club here in Athens, Georgia, and it's definitely one of my favorites. But there's a course called Sage Valley that's it's near Augusta, and it's kind of like It's kind of just like the Augusta National. Actually, it's very, very private, and I have a friend who's a member there that's taken me to play there a few times. And I have to say that's one of my most memorable golf experiences, Sage Valley.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. I was just thinking, you know, talking in the mind about, well, I think it's pretty much obvious. You've probably seen the Legend of Bagger Vance.
I actually read for Bobby Jones when they were filming it, because I'm from Savannah and they shot it there, and but I didn't get a part in it.
No, that kind of sucks. Because
I'm ready for a golf movie where the star, you can tell he actually can play golf, you know. Now, I will say the guy in 7 Days in Utopia, Lucas Black, you can tell watching that movie he's a pretty good golfer. But I can't think of a whole lot of other ones where, you know, the actor looks like they actually can play golf.
If you had the opportunity to play golf with anybody, who would it be?
That's a great question. I'd love to play golf with my dad again. You know, he's passed away, but I don't know. You know, I worked with Dennis Quaid on Footloose. I tried to get him to go play golf with me. You know, he was supposedly Hollywood's number one golfer. Although when I asked him that, he said senior golfer. there's a lot of them. I'd love to play with Jack Nicholson. That'd be a lot of fun. There's you know, I'm game to play some golf with anyone.
Yeah, actually, I one of my first interviews on the show happened to be with Kenny G, and he's an avid golfer.
I see him in all the celebrity things. And, you know, it's funny, going back to what we were just talking about, the reason I was talking about golfers that portray golfers that you can tell they don't play golf, Jim Caviezel actually played Bobby Jones in the movie called The Stroke of Genius. And, you know, it's about the legendary Bobby Jones. I was talking with him about it between takes, and he was telling me that he doesn't even play golf. He's a left-hander and had to learn how to play right-handed, you know, for a month and a half or so leading up to the movie, and you know, he's a great actor, but I could tell he wasn't a very good golfer, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we've got quite a few other people that are golfers. I know Alice Cooper's an active golfer as well.
Yeah, my nephew used to work out at El Caballero Country Club, and he said Alice Cooper teeing up out there all the time.
Yeah,
he'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. I was talking to you before we went on air about, you know, I was just at Sundance, but have you ever been out to Sundance at all?
I have not. I would like to go sometime.
I highly recommend you do so. It's really great to network, and I really got to meet a lot of great people while I was out there as well. So, and I think that, you know, any actor, filmmaker, anybody that's involved in the movie business, or even just anybody that just loves movies, should have an opportunity to go out there and to be able to pal around. So I highly recommend you do so
ski?
At some point. What?
Did you get the snow ski while you were there?
No, I did not ski. I've never been on a pair of skis before. So I wasn't about to, and I was really busy working. So. But anyway, I look forward. I mean, I at some point within the next couple of weeks need to go to the theater and see Selma, because I hear obviously there's been a lot of really, really great praise for the movie as well, and definitely want to see your scene with Oprah as well. And you know, I look forward to seeing what happens in the next couple of weeks, and especially the Oscars as well. Obviously, you're going to be turning into the Oscars, right?
Yes, I am.
are you guys doing a big party?
You know, probably not. They'll probably do something over around Atlanta, but I'm an hour away from there. My wife and I will probably, you know, have a nice dinner, get the kids asleep, and maybe have a little champagne and watch it, and hopefully Selma can bring home the W.
Yeah. Any other projects coming up for you in the next year?
Yeah. I got movie called Bessie with Queen Latifah coming out, and Troy Kittle from HBO's True Detective comes out. It's an HBO original movie. It comes out in the spring. I'm thinking it was April, but I haven't seen an exact release date.
Well, yeah, again, I look forward to it as well. Hopefully we get to see you act a little bit more during this year, and thank you for continuing to support golf and try to get these youngsters more interested in golf as well. I want to mention that you can follow Clay on Twitter at Chappelle Clay and also on Facebook as well. And anything else you want to add? Anybody else you want to thank, Clay?
No. I thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. The two things I love talking about the most, golf and acting. So this is great.
Well, no problem at all, Clay. And best of luck to you. Maybe I'll polish off my golf clubs, and if I ever make it down there, maybe we can play around or something.
Hey, you be sure and look me up. That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all, Clay. And you have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Yeah, bye. Clay Chappelle, everybody, you guys can check him out. Chappelle Clay on Twitter, Clay Chappelle on Facebook. And like I said, go see Selma. He's in one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie. You can't miss him. He's opposite Oprah Winfrey in it. It's great to be able to see that as well. Make sure you guys pick up a good golf. Like I said during the interview, just got back from Sundance. It was a last minute thing. My really great guest last week had invited me over to his suite. I couldn't say no. And when I came back, I have gotten so many great interviews. There's quite a few actors and that I've gotten to meet, and a couple directors and producers I got interviews with. So what's going to happen in the next 4 weeks? We are going to be doing a special series on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. This is going to be called Somewhere in Vegas Goes to Sundance, and we'll have a series of interviews. Some really great people over the next 4 weeks. We're going to start this week the really great people at Power and Industry. Did a great press conference this past weekend to announce the documentary, the Purple Tape Files, with the Wu-Tang Clan, and includes Wei Kwan and Ghostface Killer. Now, Wei Kwan and Ghostface Killer did a press conference exclusive for only a few of the members of the media this past Saturday night. We'll be playing the press conference in its entirety coming up on Thursday. So that'll be our first Somewhere in Vegas at Slum, Sundance show coming up next week. And Monday, we're pretty much booked solid for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Let me get to the page real quick, and I can give you a kind of a rundown of what's going to be going on in the next 3 weeks, because it's going to be crazy, to say the least. Like I said, and I don't be surprised if we start doing more extra shows, because we have become more in demand again. We get these stretches where we're just in super demand, which I absolutely love. Next week, we have actor Drew Stevenson from The Vampire Diaries is going to be on with us next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, our usual time, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Drew's going to be talking a little bit about his upcoming roles in Vampire Diaries, his modeling career, and some of his television work as well. We're going to be talking to him next week. I believe it'll be 1 p.m. Pacific on Monday. If that changes, I will let you guys know. Just go to Wombats and go to VegasPodcasting.com, and you guys can check that out as well, there as well. There'll be another actor from Selma that's probably going to be on the show the following week, and there's a dating site that I'm going to put on as well. I'm going to try to get a hold of him and do an interview with one of the owners of this really unique dating site that's out there right before Valentine's Day. So we've got those two things going down. Plus, like I said, the next 4 weeks we're going to have Somewhere in Vegas from Sundance going on as well. Please follow us on Twitter at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys will get more information as well. The page is being updated as we speak, so just make sure you guys definitely check that out. With that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with our first episode of Somewhere in Vegas at Sundance Film Festival. We'll talk to you guys then.